Welcome to the Canon Cantina, a Star Wars show where we try to answer the question, who is Luke Skywalker before the release of Star Wars Episode 9? Hi, everybody. This is Mike, just released from Medbay here at Salt Lake Base on planet Utah. This is all the voice I've got, and we'll see if it lasts through the whole episode. Hopefully, my co-host Jesse is feeling better. Chime in, Jesse. Do you sound better than I do?
How do I sound?
Way better than I do. Good job.
I'm willing, Mike, to talk more today, possibly about Star Wars. So I think I can do that. So you don't have to die.
I was real worried about your willingness to talk about Star Wars. Thanks for stepping up.
I struggle sometimes. it's too boring for me. But we're here, Mike. We made it. So this is real life intersecting with the podcast, guys, and you're getting a peek behind the curtain. And also, Mike, we're just going to say right now, we are live for the first time ever on the podcast.
Woo!
Exciting. You guys have been hearing us working about stuff behind the scenes for quite some time, and streaming was one of our bigger goals. It's been a lot of work, Mike. It's been quite a bit of work to not only
not for record. Me. Jesse has done absolutely everything to get our live stream going, and it looks great. And I am super appreciative and super happy that I didn't have to do anything other than get a better camera to get this thing going.
Well, I appreciate that, Mike. And those of you guys that are watching us right now, because this is a ninja stream, we did not announce this at all. This is kind of our test run tonight. So if you're here, you just got a lucky glimpse behind the curtain, as Mike would say often.
Yeah.
You get to see, the Oz, not the powerful Oz behind the curtain. So hopefully it's okay tonight, Mike. But so if you guys can just bear with us the next couple of weeks, we're going to really get the stream streamlined. Dad joke. So
I don't even know if that's a dad joke. That's just like poor choice of words. So we have a bit of a shorter episode for you today, partly because we've been hammering out some last minute technical stuff and because just my voice is, gone. So instead of talking about the Marvel comic Screaming Citadel run, we're just going to focus on... Oh, I put it down. Where'd it go? The Legend of Luke Skywalker. We're going to talk about the introduction and the first real story in that today.
Right.
And this is it's an interesting book released on Halloween in 2017 by Ken Liu. It's a collection of stories about Luke, but not told from his perspective. It's like the legend of him spreading across the galaxy as told by citizens of the galaxy in different settings.
That's right. And Mike, what's really interesting about this to me is, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is our first canonical Luke source on the show that's a physical book. It's not a comic.
Yep.
So that's exciting. That's a first. And also a book that's so new, like a book that literally came out, a little more than a year ago. So it's still fresh. This was one of those books they released, guys, the Road to the Force Awakens, or sorry, the Road to the Last Jedi, because they had the Road to Force Awakens as well, but this was the Road to the Last Jedi. And so it came out right before the Last Jedi. And yeah, Mike, this is an interesting book. So what we're going to do with you guys with this book, something different we've never done with any book so far. Since this is an anthology book, we're actually going to break up the anthology throughout the episodes coming up, and we're going to break up and add anthology bits on top of other stories as well, right, Mike?
That's right. We're going to take chapters or stories from this book and space them out so that we finish the whole thing, before mid-April.
That's right.
Yeah. So to go back to our normal show format, we try to center our Luke discussion around three questions, and I'm not going to read them. I'm going to make him do it today.
I'm ready to read them. So question number one is, what state is Luke in at the beginning of this story? Number two, how do the events and characters of this story impact his development as a hero? And lastly, is this consistent with the character presented in the films, current Marvel comics, and new canon books?
That's right. So you ready to give this a try, Jesse?
I'm ready, guys.
Punch it.
Ever since Luke disappeared, people have been looking for him.
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
A lot of rumors, stories.
And I became a legend.
People that knew him best.
Luke. Young Skywalker.
Luke.
It's all true.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
All of it.
That worked, Mike.
Nice.
I love it.
I gotta get the cutoff better on that.
That's all right. This is fun with the stream.
Yeah, so I don't know how we will tie this story back to our questions, but I suppose we can try.
I was thinking the same thing, Mike. Why don't we just do a quick summary of these stories? So we're doing the first two stories to be in this book, guys. So, and after we do the summary,
it's like not even two stories. Like the first one's like 9 pages.
Yeah.
It's
a prologue to what this book is, essentially.
Yeah. So the prologue, that's a good word for it, is some kids on a ship run by a Hutt that is transporting some Fathears, the Harry Potter creatures, to Canto Bight. So this is how they get to be in The Last Jedi, basically.
Right.
This is them getting delivered to the space horse track or whatever.
Yeah, and that's how we start. And what's really interesting, Mike, is this is a kind of dingy transport barge called the Wayward Current, and there's a lot of kids on it. And what I was wondering is, are these the kids that are, conscripted into labor on Canto Bight? Some of these kids? I couldn't figure that out yet. I mean,
maybe. I know it's not Broom Kid, because I didn't see his name as one of the characters Broom in here. Kid. I can't say his name right now, but if I'd read it, I'd have been like, oh, that was Broom Kid.
That's right.
I would recognize it. But basically, these kids are about to be told a story by the ship's cook, who's an older woman, got some scars, obviously lived a life.
That's right.
And she starts telling a story in chapter one of sitting in a cantina that I forgot the name of.
She talks about, yeah, I once did hear a story about Luke Skywalker, because the kids are actually asking about the legends of Luke Skywalker and some of these heroes of the rebellion, or what they call them as heroes from the Holonet, Mike, which I find really interesting. We've been told now several times through the canon that, and legends actually, if you remember Shadows of Mendor, the Holonet dramas about Luke on that. So there's a lot of dramas about Han, Luke, and Leia on the Holonet, some possibly true, some fake, but they've been spread over the galaxy. Basically, their lives have been dramatized, like we do in our world, I suppose, when we take real stories about real people and we make them in a movie form. And obviously some things are lost and some things are enhanced. But she says, I'm going to do one better, kids. I'm not going to tell you a Holonet story. I'm going to tell you an actual story that I heard in a cantina about Luke Skywalker.
That's right. That cantina called the Dandy Don John. Don Yon. Dandy Don John. That's what we're going to go with.
On Zuhu is the name of the planet. So,
yeah.
There we go. So, this is a really interesting story, Mike. I'm going to preface with that before we get into it. We haven't done anything like this on the show yet. Not even close. And I say that to explain the tone before we get into this. Would you say, Mike, that this potentially or clearly breaks the fourth wall and talks to Star Wars fans? Oh,
it absolutely does. And I loved it. I laughed a lot when I read it.
It's directly talking to you, the Star Wars fan reading this book. And it's also kind of breaking walls down between characters in the world and things that have happened. And then also it's based in, I guess, real canon. These are real people that have real discussions on this, in this bar, in the Star Wars universe. So it's just this hodgepodge of interesting things. But basically we get people hanging out at a bar, talking like people do at bars that don't know each other. Like, well, I heard a story and I'll buy you a drink if you believe me, or if you want to bet against me on this story, and all these sort of things. People are ordering appetizers. There's a Naboo dish here, some sort of Naboo worms or insects that are seasoned and prepared, which I thought was really funny. But what happens at the beginning when she's there? Right?
Well, so it's sort of like a sitcom set up to like a flashback episode of everybody's gathering around the one person who has something interesting to say. And that one person, her name is Reddy, R-E-D-Y, and she used to be an Imperial engineer on Coruscant and went to the University of Coruscant, I think, and has this conspiracy theory that's sort of like borderlines on like InfoWars style, like conspiracies, which is, the more I think about it, a very creepy analogy. So I'm going to get away from that, but very, very tinfoil hat-ish.
Yeah. And that kind of adds to the allure of this fourth wall stuff to me, Mike, because it's just funny. It like conspiracy theories in the Star Wars world. And what are these conspiracy theories are about our three heroes, namely Luke, Han, and Leia. And that's what I find really interesting. So we start off, Mike, with, you're talking about these conspiracy theories, actually about Ackbar.
Oh, of course you wanted to talk about this. I was going to go past it.
I had to talk about this, Mike. Surely this made you chuckle, right? This is how we're introduced to this conspiracy theorist character. He's literally at the bar drinking, talking about how Ackbar is a construct of the New Republic, not real person, but essentially a mouthpiece for the New Republic that delivers propaganda to the people of the galaxy. And Ackbar, this is some fourth wall stuff. They basically call him a puppet, a robotic puppet.
Yeah.
And that there's just a voice actor delivering lines because they're like, no one can be that heroic. No one can be that inspiring. No one can win that many battles. No one can win the Battle of Endor and the Battle of Jakku. And
yeah.
Yeah.
For you Marvel fans, they accuse him of being a life model decoy.
Nice reference there. Yeah, once again, we got some more excellent fourth wall stuff. But that's how they start. And then they get in discussion about the big three, Han, Luke, and Leia. So.
Yeah, and so as we typically do, like, we're not going to give everything about the story because we want you to go and read it. So details might be kind of light in this because it is a short story, but we'll try and give you the gist of it and the entertaining bits. So essentially Reddy, who is spelling out her theory to a handful of people that are listening in the cantina, thinks that the backstories and even the names of the main cast have all been fabricated and are part of a massive propaganda machine.
Right.
Not even their names and backstories, but the events that shaped the galaxy were propaganda and stories as well.
Yeah, which is super interesting. Basically, everything that's happened right before A New Hope all the way to where they are now, which is post-Return of the Jedi, these people, namely Reddy, are claiming that all fabricated by either the Rebellion / New Republic or other events were fabricated by the Empire just to the public because the public doesn't actually know anything. And here's an interesting point I think about the story, Mike, and it is some good world building. Like, people that live on like a backwater planet in the Star Wars universe genuinely do not know what's happening. And they hear stuff sometimes months, years after we're led to believe. And this kind of fleshes that out more, something that they've always explored in Star Wars. But like, you know, the poor people on Tatooine don't know about X number of battles or whatever that happened before, things like that. And
yeah,
this is kind of playing into that fear and that truth as well with people. And so we start off with them talking about Luke Skywalker was basically not who we've been told he was, is what this character says.
That's right. And neither was General Solo or Princess Leia. I get to read their names because I laughed the hardest when I read this. So this person thinks that their names, like Luke Skywalker and Han Solo, are even made up.
He said they sound too heroic. They sound too, like, once again, some fourth wall stuff. He said they sound too, like, serialized, heroic, you know, heroes, villains, and heroines.
That's right. So the Reddy believes that the real names of our heroes are Luke Claude Plotter, Benny Wiseman O'Kenobi, the head of their con artist gang, Hansel Lightning Hands Shooter, a smuggler, Chewy Shaggy Baccarat, the Wookiee, and they fly around in their ship, the Century Turkey, which I had to stop reading when I got to that part because I was laughing so hard.
I shook my head. I was like, they did not, man. They had me on board.
They called it the Century Turkey. It's still funny.
That's kind of that that Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson thing. Should the American mascot be an eagle or a turkey? Ben Franklin fought hard for that turkey. He really wanted it. So that's the start, which is very humorous, but it's also this guy's serious. This character.
Yeah. So this crew of hilariously named people, they are con artists. That's right. They're going around basically as like an old timey magic show, going to small towns and conning the simple backwater, denizens of the galaxy, until they rip off the rebellion a little bit and Leia puts them on trial. And they say, wait a minute, why don't you let us use our con man skills to help out the Republic, or not the Republic, the Rebellion.
Right.
It's very, very strange, especially it was strange to hear myself say it that way. But essentially they're saying that
Obi-Wan,
the story that we saw did not happen, that Ben Kenobi was the sleazy leader of a con artist gang that sort of got forced to work for Leia and the Rebellion.
Right. And then like Luke and Han and Chewie and all these people, like they all had their role to play in this con artist game. Chewie was the muscle. He would scare people into not backing out of deals and paying them. And Luke was kind of a another con artist in training. And, you know, Han was a more ominous version of Han. Once again, with some fourth wall stuff. Oh, Han, I've heard about him. Isn't he the guy that, you know, shoots people first and all that stuff. So we talk about Han shooting first, which is really funny because Han shooting first in New Hope is not canonical.
Not canon. Yeah.
So very interesting reference there. So that's where this is. And so after we realize...
Hold on a second. Let's go back. You said that Han shooting first was... Oh, no.
Modern technology. I lost you. You're back now, though.
Yep. That one's supposed to happen. Oh, well.
Han shooting was...
Did you hear the clip at least?
Oh, I need to hear it.
Han shooting first was...
Very good.
I need to start a Bob's Burgers podcast.
I would love to learn from you because I know so little, but I know enough to get by. So I don't like the idea of thinking about Obi-Wan being the sleazy car salesman guy. That really bothers me the most.
Of course it does.
Especially old Ben, right? This is not.
Yeah.
But let's get into the story of Luke. So then this guy says that after they're conscripted into the rebellion via Leia, that then the rebellion fabricates stories about their battles and even uses Luke and Han and these con artist guys to be kind of the visual face of these fake battles and victories and things. And they use the Battle of Yavin as a prime example.
Well, not only does this person say the Battle of Yavin was faked, this person says that the Death Star was Imperial propaganda that was also faked, because this person says they were an engineer and they'd done the math and it just wouldn't work. And how could someone have intentionally designed it so poorly? It had never been tested. That thing that happened on Jeddah was just a mining accident. So really reaching through that fourth wall here.
Yeah, they're like, have you seen Rogue One? There's no way.
Yeah, that's basically what they said. Yeah.
And what I like too, Mike, is they talk about the Battle of Yavin being, they're like, they claim that the Battle of Yavin has like very close to little footage because no one survived. And the technology they had on their base was inept because they were a small base. He's like, that's what they claim. He's like, but the rebellion was much bigger back then. And they had all the technology to do that.
Oh, and I loved this one. They said that there's two different versions of the footage of the Death Star being destroyed. In one version, it just explodes into a cloud of sparks. Right. But in another, there's a circular like ring of energy shooting out from it, which is special edition like changes. So I thought that was also really funny.
This was like written for us, Mike. It's like, do you know a lot about Star Wars? Have you filled up recesses of your mind with too many things that are probably not necessary? Well, we're gonna do a little comedy bit for you here. I'm also gonna start using the term Yavin 4 truther. Let's start saying that, please.
That's hilarious.
Just came to me, and I'm not letting that go. I'm gonna bring that up in the future. So that's this guy is. He's a Yavin 4 truther. That did not happen.
Yeah.
So let's talk about more specifically Luke here, if we can, Mike, in these stories. Basically, the whole time this guy is telling the story, anytime he mentions specifically Luke, Leia, or Han, there's several people like, oh, go on. I want to hear about those heroes. I've heard so much about them. And there's a gentleman with a hood on who says, basically, go on. I'm really intrigued. Oh, tell me about that. I'm super excited to hear about that. And the only description we have is that he's
laughing at some of the
with a hood up.
Did we drop the car again?
A beard that is showing some gray in his beard. And he just continues to egg them on, like, I want to hear more about the story, which is pretty interesting. And we don't know who this character is yet, but I have a feeling we're going to be told who he is.
It's Luke. They basically tell you from the beginning that Luke is listening to these stories and laughing.
He's sipping a beer.
He thinks it's funny.
Yeah. And so the story proceeds and we hear more about, they talk about how Luke was literally just a propaganda piece. And they were like, you know, Luke Clodhopper did have some things. He had charm and wit, and he had great looks. And guess what the rebellion did? They snatched that up and used those great looks and that charm and wit for their propaganda. But he was not this character. And then he gets into the part about being a Jedi, and he's like, no one's a Jedi anymore. Like, that's not a thing. And they claim Luke was a Jedi, and he's like, he was no Jedi. But of course, at this point, the character who we're led to believe is Luke, of course, is Luke, because he gets another drink from the bartender, and he asks the bartender if he can use their charging dock for their phones or whatever. And he says, I need to, and my droid's here with me. And you just hear his droid come up. R2's not described, but we always know now, Mike, you and I, almost 30 episodes in, know that Luke's always with R2. That's what he does.
Well, so tying this back to our questions, what state is Luke in at the beginning of the story? He's having a drink, and he's amused by these people talking about
and
him.
His best friends.
That don't know he's sitting right there. Yeah, so he's having a laugh, which is a nice change of pace for him, because the start of the past three episodes, he was in a bit of a rough place.
That's true. And I do like that a couple times he stands up for Han and Leia. He's like, I'm not sure that's correct. I heard General Leia has done X and Y, backed up by some evidence. And they're like, oh, no. You've been fed the propaganda, man, about General Leia.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, and Han Solo was this. And they're like, oh, man, just listen to me. I know the real stuff. So,
Yeah. But basically, like, Luke leaves the cantina and is followed out by not the truther, not the storyteller, but the person relaying this story to the kids on the Wayward Current.
The cook.
And the cook. And
I gotta answer it here.
Tells her Oh, okay. Go for it.
So do you know what happened to Luke Skywalker later? The hooded man asked. I heard that he just disappeared. This is Luke saying that. And then Reddy says that he did. My guess is he got bored with living as a hero and decided to go back to practicing his old tricks. And I've heard tales from all over the galaxy of a stranger who wields a lightsaber and performs miracles for the downtrodden. That's probably him coming, conning just unsophisticated villagers and poor folk again. So the hooded man laughed, a deep, sincere sounding expression of mirth. I think that was one of the most interesting stories I've ever heard. And that's really saying something given my life. Thank you, is what Luke says. And then this is the point you just mentioned, Mike. Luke walks outside and gets pulled from our POV character. And, you know, they have a pretty interesting conversation where Luke's laughing and he says, let's just say some of my friends would not agree with that particular version of the story. So Luke's essentially telling her, like, not that he's Luke, but that he's heard these stories as well from other people. And then our POV character says, then why didn't you correct her? He says, why would I have done that? She says, to defend the reputations of the heroes of the New Republic, of Luke Skywalker. He says, the heroes of the New Republic didn't think of themselves as heroes. They thought of themselves as ordinary men and women who did what had to be done to restore freedom and justice to the galaxy. For me to challenge her would have been giving into fear, fear that their reputations rather than their deeds are what mattered. It led to anger, anger that they were not worshipped by everyone who benefited from their sacrifices. And then it would have led to hate, hate that the truth was not enough by itself. And that would be giving into to the dark side. And so we have a little a Jedi Master Luke lesson at the end here. And he says, so it's all fine. And he says, just go back to the bar and enjoy your tea. And she goes, she said it was the best tea she's ever had.
Yeah, it's been a while since I let him read like that. I just let him go, listener. Yeah, so
gotta read some
this is words. A good point to jump back. Good point to jump back to our last question, because our second one, there is no answer to it because it doesn't happen in this story. But our last question, is this consistent with the character presented in films and stuff? I think so.
Yeah.
Up until maybe he uses the Jedi mind trick on her, because I think this Luke like laughing at the ignorance of other people, like, you know, politely or whatever, it fits especially with Luke in the deleted scene from Last Jedi where he tricks Rey into thinking that the caretakers of the island are about to be attacked, and she runs over there. That's right. And it's just them just having a party out. And she's like you lied to me, and he's like, well, I was gonna stop you, but you ran so fast. It fits really well with that Luke. And I guess the mind trick was harmless. I guess we don't know when the story happened. Had he stopped using the Force? Had he cut himself off from everything? Where is Kylo? Is Ben born?
Yeah. Yet?
So we don't know all that stuff. So,
and it wasn't I suppose, an ominous mind trick. He just says, he raises his hand in a gesture of benediction and says, just go back now and enjoy another story and refreshing spice tea.
Yeah.
So he's just encouraging her through the mind trick.
Mostly consistent. I don't know. Just seems like an unnecessary thing for him to do at that point.
Say that. Oh, I'm losing you, Mike. You're back.
I don't know what's going on. It like didn't do this at all before we started.
Yeah. I don't know. Too much heat. But all in all, it's a super fun story, guys. And it definitely seems like it's Luke. Like, we can't really, as you just said, Mike, we can't look at these at the same way as we do our traditional stories that are full arc stories. This is just a snippet.
Right.
What I find most interesting about these stories, and why we're kind of going to go into more of the, like we just did, some of the points of these, is people's take in the galaxy on Luke and the rebellion and the Empire and Luke's friends. Really interesting.
Yeah. So as we go through these, we'll see if they continue breaking the fourth wall so much, or if that was just to kind of shake us up and get us used to this new story. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was silly. I still laugh at Century Turkey.
Century Turkey.
But
I laughed at the Chewy thing. So
yeah, we'll see what comes in the next next couple of weeks when we hit the second story.
Sounds good to me. Well, moving on, Mike, we've got a new promotion for patrons of the Canon Cantina. If you guys have been with us the last several episodes, Audible is now a official sponsor of the Canon Cantina. And Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. So this week on the Canon Cantina, we're recommending a fairly new Star Wars book on Audible called From a Certain Point of View. It is another anthology book from multiple characters' perspectives. Like our book today. So if you've recently read A Certain Point of View or you want to try something else, you also can just download any other audiobook, be Star Wars or any other audiobook that you want from this trial. So to download your free audiobook today, go to www.audibletrial.com/thecanoncantina. Again, that's audibletrial.com/thecanoncantina for your free audiobook.
A collection called From a Certain Point of View is probably just like all of Obi-Wan's lies written down.
Lies. Right? Not lies.
Deception.
I've heard it's a pretty good book, Mike, and I'm actually looking forward to either listening to it or reading it.
I've actually listened to a few segments of it on Audible.
Pretty enjoyable.
Because it's a bunch of short stories like this one. Yeah, and there's a lot of different readers or voice actors, whatever you want to call it. It's pretty neat. So not only do we have that Audible promotion as a way for you to help support us,
but big stuff.
In conjunction with launching our live stream, we actually have our Patreon available now. We spent a while deciding if we were going to do anything like this, but once we decided that we were going to move beyond just being the audio podcast, we thought, yeah, why not? Let's go ahead and throw one of these out there.
That's right. So you're not familiar with Patreon, we probably should talk about that, right, Mike?
I don't know how you're not familiar with Patreon at this point, but no, you're right. So if you go to patreon.com/thecanoncantina, you can give us money at different levels to support what we do, and you will get some extra stuff for giving us money. Money, please.
I like your pitch. My pitch is going to be much more frank. So I'm sure a lot of you guys know this stuff as well, but if you don't, I mean, just obviously creating a podcast is time and effort and research and reading and all sorts of things. But that aside, that's time and money that Mike and I willingly put in. A podcast actually requires legitimate monthly and annual fees, more than just equipment. So we pay hosting fees for our website, hosting fees for our streaming. We pay hosting fees for our podcast and a lot of other little miscellaneous things.
We paid for this beautiful live stream.
Yes.
Art.
Yeah. As you guys heard in previous episodes, you've seen our new art. This is our new stream overlay art. And we have several more versions of this from the talented Mr. Garrett Weinzerl, who did our art. And these are all things that cost money and time. And with the Patreon, you guys can basically give us a monthly amount that you think this show is worth, and you will help supporting paying off all these things that we have to pay on a regular basis, and you know, directly supporting the show in the most direct way that exists.
That's right. But not only will you be supporting us, you are going to get some extra stuff. So let's talk about these tiers real quick.
I'm excited.
Our first tier, if you give us $1 a month, we call that the tip jar. You get our eternal thanks, early access to regular episodes and articles. We're going to start posting articles that we write on our website. And you'll be able to vote via Patreon in show-related polls to help us choose what we talk about.
Right. You'll also be the first people to know about any future events that are happening, because we've got stuff planned in the future that we... I want to talk about so bad, Mike, but I can't talk about yet. So
yeah. Our next tier is the most exciting one to me. $5 a month. We call this the top shelf. You get all the rewards from the first tier, and you get exclusive access to our second podcast feed. Yes. That's right. The Canon Cantina Top Shelf is our second podcast. You're going to get an extra 2 or 3 hours of content per month. And it's a podcast featuring us outside of our normal restrictions of talking about Luke and our three questions and everything. It's 2 to 3 hours of whatever we want to talk about. It could be Star Wars still. It could be movies in general. As soon as Jesse goes and sees Into the Spider-Verse, I want us to rank all of the Spider-Man movies.
Love it.
As an example. And whatever other fun things we come up with. Episodes might be short. We might have some like one really long episode a month, but you're going to get 2 to 3 hours of extra podcast content per month from us at this $5 top shelf level. I'm really excited about this one.
I've got like 1,000 ideas for this, Mike. So this is pretty exciting that you guys get to hear us hang out and talk, especially Mike, on an unedited, less structured level, just kind of more us just hanging out over Skype, talking about Spider-Man, talking about maybe Star Wars board gaming, trips we're going to take soon that involve Star Wars stuff, or just trips that involve nothing pertaining to Star Wars, maybe Disney. Like Mike's recently been to Disney World and things like that. We're going to talk about a lot of things. It's going to be a personal window, definitely behind the curtain, as we've been saying.
But if you enjoy our general vibe, I think you'll like it when we're not restricted by talking about Luke so much.
I agree.
So the next tier, $10 a month, the private stash. This gets you everything we've already mentioned, plus a shout out in the first episode we record after you sign up. We'll read your thoughts about the story of the week or play a clip if you send one in. So you'll know ahead of time what Luke's story we're talking about, and you can either send us a message that we'll read, or you can record it and we'll play it on the show if you like the story or didn't. And you'll have priority in helping us choose topics for segments beyond the story of the week. So if you liked our It Came From Reddit segment, you can help us choose to do that more often, or just give us inspiration on other side topics to do as well.
That's right.
And then we're getting into the mega fan tier, which we debated on even putting these in, but we went ahead and did it because surely somebody out there, mom, loves us this much to give us the money at the producer level. $20 a month. I get you everything we've talked about. You get to call yourself a producer. You get a permanent credit in every That's episode right. and access to monthly video hangouts with us because you might want to yell at us directly and see our ugly mugs or something.
Yeah, and I think this is pretty exciting tier as well, Mike. I know it's higher up, but I think just being a producer every episode is pretty exciting. We'll mention your name every time, so if you have one of those great names, like the reviews we've been getting recently, like "This Tauntaun Smells Awful" or something like that, we will say that every episode. So it's very exciting.
Or your real name if you want. It's up to you. And then our last one, the big one, the executive producer tier. If you sign up for this, great. we really appreciate that. But we figured, why not shoot for the moon? Throw this out here in case somebody really does like what we do that much. $50 a month will get you the title of executive producer. You'll get a personal thank you video from us, and you'll have the opportunity to be a guest on the main Canon Cantina show every 3 months. So we will bring you on as a semi-regular host at that point.
Yeah. So, and you get to... You could even guide the topics of our second show, Mike said, the top shelf, and we could talk about anything you want, which is doesn't necessarily have to just be a Luke thing. So that's kind of the fun restriction there. And, you know, you're going to get credit where it's due every episode as well. You're going to be, you know, that main producer. I mean, you're the Rick McCollum of the prequel trilogy. So
oh, that's mean. Don't call our potential patrons the Rick McCollum of things.
I just
yeah. So the Patreon is live. If you are not able to support us that way, that's totally fine. Just keep listening to the show and spreading the word. You're still going to get the main Canon Cantina show as close to every Monday as we can manage. We had some technical issues caused by the Dark Lord Exar Kun last week. It wasn't my fault, honest. But if you do like what we do enough to support us financially a little bit and you are able, there are plenty of ways for you to do that at patreon.com/thecanoncantina. And we hope you enjoy the extra stuff that you get for doing so.
Yeah, I look forward to interacting with you guys on the Patreon because I don't know if a lot of you guys haven't participated in Patreon before. Stuff is locked for you if you're not on the Patreon, or it's locked if you're not in that particular tier. So we get to be a little bit more personal there than just the regular show with you guys, which I really like.
Yeah. So that'll do it for our short episode today. We had an entertaining story and we got to break a lot of news. The live stream, the Patreon, it's all leading up to one big thing that's coming soon. So you can go to thecanoncantina.com for links to all of our social media, and you can actually listen to the show there as well. The Canon Cantina is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, Podcast Addict, YouTube, and on Spotify, and now streaming live on Twitch.
That's right. So you guys should continue following our Twitch page at The Canon Cantina. So twitch.tv/thecanoncantina. Every time we go live like this, which we're going to get on a weekly schedule, which we're going to update you guys with soon, it'll just tell you. And you can just watch the show live, and you wouldn't even have to listen at that point. Or you could do a little bit of both, which I sometimes do with some of the shows I follow, which is exciting. I watch part of their live stream and got something to do. That's okay. I'll just listen the second half later via my podcast app. But continue spreading the word of our shows, guys, by subscribing, rating, and reviewing. We've mentioned how much it helps when you guys give us the Apple Podcast reviews. That cannot be understated. Basically, now there's two major ways to support us. That's writing us a review and jumping on the Patreon. It's just direct, clear support for us. And we keep getting Apple reviews, Mike. And I want to read just one here we got in recent weeks. It's from IG, IG77. What a great name. I feel like I should be friends with this person. If you want to reference our conversation from last week about people who know IG are your real friends, especially a twist on that. The title is Skywalker Truth and Gospel. This is the show for the Skywalker lover in your life. It's simple. It's direct. It's kind of my motto here, Mike, in a lot of ways. So I like that. And there you go. We're going to continue reading you guys' reviews on the show. So if you want to leave us a review on the show, we will read it. We are still periodically making our way through all of them. It's very exciting, Mike, that we still have some left to get through. But I'm going to be very sad when the day comes when we don't have any more to read. So keep giving us reviews for us to read on the show, guys. And every review really helps.
That's when the one-star reviews come.
So
my voice made it this far. Join us next week as hopefully I sound better and we stay in canon and we go back to the comics and we talk about Marvel's Screaming Citadel.
That's right. And join me this week, guys, on this stream. I will be streaming, hopefully, some Battlefront 2 leading up to Count Dooku's release. And, you know, Mike, some point, hopefully some Star Wars board gaming. That's my next
All right. Well, thanks for hanging out with us in the Canon Cantina today, everybody. Cheers.
May the Force be with you.
Boring conversation anyway.